With NATO set to bomb the Serbs, the U.S. sets a double D objective.
It is very important for us to be able to deter and damage.
Senate debates war and its price.
I hope and pray that our forces will be safe.
Suspected Chinese nuclear spy reportedly promoted despite suspicions. Good Wednesday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. B-52 bombers flew out of a British base this morning, part of the big NATO air armada that by tonight could be unleashed against Yugoslavia. The imminent bombing campaign may have caused a crack in Belgrade's defiance. The Yugoslav ambassador to Moscow says President Milosevic now wants more talks with U.S. envoy Richard Holbrooke, but the West doesn't seem to be listening. CBS News correspondent Alan Pizzi reports from Kosovo's nervous capital, Pristina, where air raid sirens were tested this morning.
Last night, the streets were deserted as soon as darkness fell, and this morning there was very little activity. Most of it is concentrated around food points like bread sales. People are trying to stock up with whatever meager savings they have left. The cell phone network has virtually ceased to function as people make frantic calls to relatives to find out what's going on and what to do. Many people fear that urban centers will be hit. The Yugoslav government has declared a state of emergency because of what it called the imminent threat of war. And the refugee crisis, the human catastrophe bombing is supposed to avert, is in fact getting worse. Thousands of people are trapped at the Macedonian border, which is closed. And the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, one of the last agencies still trying to get food to refugees, evacuated its international staff to Macedonia this morning. Alan Pizzi, CBS News, Pristina.
NATO's decision to mount airstrikes is being justified on moral grounds by Secretary of State Albright, who on Larry King Live suggested a parallel with Hitler's Germany in the 1930s.
We have to learn the lessons of this century, and knowing that if we stand by and watch these kinds of things evolve, that they will only get worse and we will pay a higher price much later.
The Clinton administration has won lukewarm congressional support for unleashing U.S. force against the Serbs. We get more live from CBS News White House correspondent Peter Mayer.
The Senate's 58-41 vote favoring military action against Serb forces indicates lingering questions about White House policy. Minnesota Democrat Paul Wellstone supports the move.
I hope and pray that by our actions we can prevent what I think otherwise will be an absolute catastrophe.
But Arkansas Republican Tim Hutchinson had doubts.
The question I ask is, well, what if our best hopes are not realized? What if it doesn't work? What happens then?
With NATO and U.S. forces on war footing, President Clinton will confer again today with allied and congressional leaders. This morning, he spoke by phone with Russian President Yeltsin, telling him of the diplomatic breakdown in Kosovo. Top military commanders are tracking plans at the Pentagon, where we're live now with CBS News correspondent Lou Miliano.
Seamless is one of the words being used here at the Pentagon to describe just how this operation will be carried off, from the launch of the first cruise missile to the follow-up by NATO warplanes. At the same time, they don't minimize the risks. And CBS News consultant retired General Buster Glosson says the risks are significant.
With the weather, the terrain, and the threat all combined, when you're attacking a field army, you're going to lose airplanes and you're going to lose pilots.
The goal is to stop Slobodan Milosevic from attacking Kosovar Albanians. That means taking out air defenses and then command and control operations and troops and tanks on the ground. And at this point, Milosevic is the only one who can stop it. Live at the Pentagon, I'm Lou Miliano, CBS News.
Serb authorities have cracked down on the media, seizing satellite transmission gear from Western broadcasters in Belgrade and silencing the independent radio B-92. In another worrying move, Russia, opposed to NATO action, is preparing to put its own forces on alert. The Los Alamos Nuclear Weapons Lab reportedly promoted Wen Ho Lee into a sensitive job in 1997, even though he was already suspected by the FBI of spying for China. According to the New York Times, Lee then proceeded to hire a researcher who's a Chinese citizen and who has since disappeared. Britain's highest court has upheld the arrest of Chile's former dictator, Augusto Pinochet. He's wanted by Spain on genocide charges. Jury selection begins today in Laramie, Wyoming, in the trial of Russell Henderson, one of two men charged in last October's brutal murder of gay student Matthew Shepard. CBS News reporter Lee Frank has more.
Defense attorneys believe they can get a fair trial here in Laramie, where nearly 500 potential jurors have answered 20 pages of questions. Details of the crime, the victim pistol whipped, left to die, tied to a fence post, are well known in this college town, including reports that suspect Henderson laughed as gay student Matthew Shepard begged for mercy. Now people in Laramie want justice.
Still being talked about a lot.
Everybody hates what he did, and he's going to be sentenced to death.
The death penalty is possible if jurors being selected starting today find Russell Henderson guilty of killing a gay college student. Lee Frank, CBS News, Laramie, Wyoming.
It's 5 past the hour. The Supreme Court, which bans cameras from its chamber, today considers limits on news cameras in your home. We get more live from CBS News correspondent Dan Ravine.
Citizens have on occasion sued the news media for invasion of privacy, but today's arguments in the high court involve lawsuits against law enforcement agencies, sheriff's deputies in Montgomery County, Maryland, and federal agents in Montana who let reporters and news cameras ride along when they raided private homes. In Maryland, to catch a fugitive, in Montana, searching for evidence of animal abuse. In that case, a lower court said the feds planned their search for entertainment value. The Supreme Court to rule by late June whether the authorities can be sued for violating the citizens' rights. Live in Washington, Dan Ravive, CBS News.
On March 24, 1998, two heavily armed boys opened fire on classmates at the Westside Middle School in Jonesboro, Arkansas, killing 4 girls and a teacher. CBS News reporter Jim Krasula has a year-after look.
The 50,000 residents of this northeastern Arkansas community today will relive the pain and heartache of the schoolyard massacre that so stunned the nation. There'll be a moment of silence and tolling of bells at Westside Middle School just after noon, the exact time of the shooting 1 year ago that left 4 students and a teacher dead. There'll also be a special memorial service outside the county courthouse. There's still a nagging question here. What caused Andrew Golden and Mitchell Johnson, just 11 and 13 at the time, to go on the shooting spree, and what could have been done to prevent it? Jim Krasula, CBS News, Jonesboro, Arkansas.
The NTSB has declared a rudder reversal caused the 1994 crash of a U.S. airplane outside Pittsburgh, as well as a 1991 crash in Colorado. Factory orders for durable goods fell last month by 5%, the biggest drop in over 7 years. That sign the economy is slowing has sent the Dow down on Wall Street. It was 10 years ago today the tanker Exxon Valdez ran aground and spilled 11 million gallons of oil into Alaska's Prince William Sound. As Carrie Anderson reports, that environmental disaster is never-ending.
On the 10-year anniversary of America's worst oil disaster, thousands of plaintiffs in Alaska are still waiting for Exxon to pay $5 billion in punitive damages awarded by a federal jury. Among them is commercial fisher Lyndon O'Toole of Cordova.
Exxon, until they pay us, hasn't really been punished for this and doesn't have the incentive to do things like double-hull tankers and to spend money to prevent this from happening again.
Exxon has filed numerous motions and appeals trying to get its $5 billion judgment overturned. Carrie Anderson for CBS News, Anchorage.
At least 32 people have been killed in a train wreck in Kenya, including 5 foreign tourists. Another 100 people were injured. And that is the World News Roundup for Wednesday, March 24th, 1999. I'm Bill Lynch, CBS News.